Hello, everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel or on the Cycling Dane podcast if you're listening there. Today was the first day out of, well, the second week after the rest day. We had Remco Evenepoel leave and another other riders leaving as well. But we're going to discuss all of that, of course. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, I mean, before the stage, the number of just people leaving was absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, let's go through them all, one by one. Of course, Remco Evenepoel is out of the race. We also saw Mads Wurt Schmidt, Stefan Kuhn, Callum Scottson, Sven-Erik Boström, Domenico Pozzavivo, Oscar Riesebeek, Rigoberto Urán, and Ryan Tarame pull out. That was before today's stage. During the stage, we also saw Simone Petterle, Sasha Vlasov, and Martin Tusfeld all leave the race. A big, big loss for the race, especially Evenepoel and Vlasov, who would have been up there fighting for GC and that final podium in Rome, particularly Evenepoel. But the show must go on, even if there's a lot of tension in the peloton at the moment. And that was felt today, very, very rainy day as they made their way across the boot of Italy to the other side of the country. And I mean, a lot of crashes and a lot of rain. Notable, Gebratzkabir had a crash, a number of other people in today's stage. It made for very tense racing, but also splits on the road. This meant that a couple people were missing out in terms of the sprint that we could have had at the end. Caden Groves, Michael Matthews had missed out in the GC fight. Jay Vine, who crashed on the downhill section of the race, he also missed out in a group that was chasing behind. What we then had was a very reduced peloton chasing the breakaway, who were out the whole time. Breakaway consisted of Magnus Cort, Derek Guy, and Alessandro De Marchi. They were up there fighting for things, trying to keep ahead of the peloton for as long as possible. It seemed like all the firepower in that reduced peloton was lost. The tension there was definitely felt, even on the flat part of the stage when they were trying to chase back. There were more crashes, notably a silly incident, really, between Michel Reiss and Lucas Pastelberger. They came down in a crash, and then Abate Bettiol crashes into a staff member as they tell the race to sort of watch out, there's incidents, and Bettiol crashes into the staff member. He was very angry about that at the time and angry about it after the stage. But there was a finale to be had. I think all this firepower that was lost, the tension was palpable in that chasing peloton with the pink jersey. They missed out on the final sprint, and the breakaway fought it out between themselves with Derek Guy leading things out. The Canadian, who's in his debut Giro, just did not have it in his legs to overcome Magnus Cort, the Dane, who completes his Grand Tour trilogy after winning stages of the Tour and the Vuelta in the past. He completes the set with this win in Viareggio at the Giro. Alessandro De Marchi comes home in third after another near miss in the breakaway, after, of course, that stage into Naples last week. In the peloton, the sprint was won by Mads Pedersen ahead of Ackermann and Aldani. This ultimately doesn't do much in terms of the classifications. The points jersey is still on the shoulders of Jonathan Milan. And in the GC, there's a little bit of sort of shakeabout. Jay Vine moves out of top 10. He's now in 20th place overall. And everyone moves up courtesy of Sasha Vlasov and Evenepoel dropping out of top 10 overnight. So not a stage for the ages, but definitely a couple of sort of interesting moments out of today.
Yeah, a lot of crashes as well. Yeah. It was such a wet day. There was even talks about that they were going to shorten it or even cancel the stage. But, I mean, we can't not start with Magnus Cort Nielsen, as you said, completed the set there. And, I mean, EF Education Easy Post, this means it's a huge big thing for them, winning another stage after losing Urán. And then, yeah, Magnus Cort Nielsen not really firing on all cylinders in some races. And, yeah, Ewan, this must be a big win. We saw Mathieu Preixel was really happy about it. Bettiol, his teammate, not so much, but for different reasons, as you said. Two for two in breakaways as well for EF.
Exactly. When they've gone for the breakaways, they've been successful. Healy the other day in Fossombrone, and now with Cort. I think for Cort as well, it's just a big sort of sigh of relief. He came to the Giro last year thinking, oh, I can complete the trilogy, look good over the first couple of days, but missed the mark elsewhere. He was in the breakaway today, and I was a little bit worried because he hasn't been looking super strong in this Giro so far, but this is Cort in a breakaway. He's really, really good at fighting these out. And it came down to a typical Magnus Cort finish, really, where he used his tactical cunningness and his sprinting legs, that engine he has, to his own ability. So, yeah, definitely EF can be happy with this one. To come later in the race, there might be more breakaway opportunities. Who from? We don't quite know. It could be Cort and and Healy once again, maybe one of the other guns, Alberto Betiol, once he recovers from today's crash and angriness thereof. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes of EF later on in this race, or whether they focus super heavily on the GC fight for Hugh Carthy once we get into the break, or whether they focus on Hugh Carthy and his GC fight once we get into the Alps and Dolomites in the next 2 weeks.
I was half expecting to see your framed photo.
Oh, well, my man, he's waiting for his time. This is not what I was hoping to talk about, especially once now that we're in his home region of Tuscany. I was hoping that he'd have a breakaway stage win, but Alberto Betiol, he waits in the wings for headlines to come that don't involve him hitting staff members and shouting at journalists outside team buses. But it's so Betiol, it makes so much sense, doesn't it? It's just like what we've spoken about over the past couple of years. He's like so hot or cold.
Hot today.
Hot today, yeah, for some reason. But I mean, he's always found it hard to like follow diet plans and sort of training programs. He's a free spirit. He's got a great personality. Listen to an interview with him and he's such a colorful personality. And it's a shame that it's come to this today. This is the reason that he's made headlines.
Something we didn't touch on was that on the massive descent we had suddenly a move with five riders, we weren't quite sure, and it turned out it was Bahrain Victorious, and it looked like they were, well, we've been saying this quite a lot, they were trying to do 4D chess by bringing Jonathan Milan, and they could catch the breakaway, and then Jonathan Milan would have no one else of his points classification jersey competitors there. But they brought Damiano Caruso in that group, so that meant that Ineos Grenadiers were trying to police it with Pavel Sivakov in that group, but then he dropped back, and then they swept up that move. But yeah, what was Bahrain thinking?
It was a pretty perplexing move, to be honest. Couldn't quite understand why or who they were working for. Was it to try to get Milan a sort of comfy stage win from the breakaway? And Pascalon was there as well. It was an interesting move. Sivakov marked it. It was strange. It was a very odd 20 kilometers of racing. But in the end, it didn't really come to anything. Caruso didn't gain time. Milan didn't get the win. If anything, it might have actually hurt Milan and Pascalon, who invested a lot into that move that ultimately led to nothing. But for a while, I mean, it looked like Caruso was edging in on Virgil Pink on the road, which would have been very cool. But yeah, I mean, this might be the sort of the talking point of the day. I don't know. I don't really know. I'm finding it hard to sort of see reason behind the move, but it made it entertaining, at least during the sort of midpoint of the day when nothing much was happening, to see Caruso, Milan and Pascalon go in a move was definitely fascinating. It wasn't on my bingo card for this Giro stage.
So, I mean, final point, Geraint Thomas enjoyed his first day in the Maglia Rossa, and so far so good. Do you think potentially Ineos Grenadiers can run away with it now, or is Roglic still the big thorn in their shoe?
Well, you say they could run away with it, but all it takes is for Roglic to gain a second or two, well, gain 2 seconds actually, in the bonus second sprints on one of these stages, and boom, he's in pink. I don't think Jumbo will want to take pink this early, and they're probably quite content leaving Ineos the control of everything. But yeah, I mean, Ineos definitely are in a really good position. They controlled the race well today. It's sort of flashbacks of Ineos of years gone by. But maybe I think Jumbo are going to play the long game. All it is 2 seconds. It's really not that much. Even Theo Gegenhardt is 5 seconds back. So it's super open at this point. Everyone's very close together. And I reckon the next couple of days will just be Ineos controlling things whilst Jumbo Visma wait in the wings, not investing too much. It actually could work to Roglic's benefit if his team are kept dry, because he's only 2 seconds behind, and then he can pounce in the mountains and boom, Roglic is then in pole position.
But anyways, that's basically it for this race recap analysis of stage 10. What a crash heavy edition it has been. And of course, as always, make sure to subscribe to the channel, comment down below what you thought of the stage, and as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.